talking this evening with Sue Brebner of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Sue is the Animal Rights 101 Seminar Coordinator, and there is a seminar taking place this Saturday, March 16th in Kings Park. How are you doing this evening, Sue?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. Now, why don't you tell people where in Kings Park the seminar is going to be on the 16th?
Okay, it will be at the Lucian Memorial United Church, which is at 109 Main Street in Kings Park. It goes from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And because of the timing of this interview, I guess the main question is there still time for people to register, and can they register that day?
Yeah, we prefer that they register if they can call our office ahead of time. The number is 301-770-PETA. Tell them that they want to register for the seminar. There is a $25 fee, but you do get lunch and a free video with that. And so, yes, we prefer if you call ahead of time, either Thursday or Friday. People can come to the door that morning and see if we have any spaces left. That would be all right, but it just depends on how many people register right up to the last minute.
Now, these seminars, the Animal Rights 101 seminars, are a pretty recent outreach for PETA. How did they get started?
Well, we found that we were just overwhelmed with people calling us up and asking for information on how they could become a vegetarian, how they could get other people involved in animal rights, and they wanted to learn what they could do to help animals. They weren't exactly sure. So we developed the seminar as a way of educating people for two things. First, what you can do in your daily life to help animals, and also what you can do to educate the public. And what we find is that there are a lot of very simple lifestyle changes that people can make. It's just amazing how little things that you incorporate into your daily routine have a positive impact on animals. And that means just buying products that are not tested on animals, for instance. Many people don't realize that when you go into the average grocery store, drugstore, the shampoo and the cleaning products have been tested on animals, put in rabbits' eyes or force-fed to dogs or rats. But you can vote with your consumer dollars against cruelty and buy products that have not been tested on animals. So we tell people how you do that. We also encourage people to adopt a vegetarian diet and tell them how they can do that.
And there's been an enormous growth, I guess, in various groups who supply cruelty-free products. And also, I see a proliferation of more natural food stores, and the vegetarian diets have become more accepted.
Absolutely. There are now about 350 companies that make either cosmetics or household products that are not tested on animals. So it's getting much easier to find these products. In fact, some of the large companies now, like Avon and Revlon and Estee Lauder, Amway, all those companies no longer test on animals. And, of course, vegetarianism has been sweeping the country for many reasons. Very much for health and ecological reasons. People realize that you're not going to die of a heart attack or a stroke or cancer if you're not eating animal products, and or at least you're going to vastly decrease your chances of getting those chronic diseases. It's a much healthier diet. And, of course, the environmental impact of a meat-based diet is enormous. It requires huge amounts of oil and water and other natural resources to maintain our dependence on meat. And when you eat lower on the food chain, become a vegetarian or a vegan, you are helping the environment tremendously. In fact, some economists figured out that for everyone who becomes a vegan, you save an acre of trees a year.
Wow, that's amazing. In fact, I'm reading a book now that was recommended by one of the PETA magazines called Diet for a New America.
Yeah.
And it's just totally changing my view on eating. And I guess that's one of the topics that will be covered during the seminar.
Absolutely. We talk about, first of all, how to go about changing your diet and, a step-by-step sort of routine of how you go into changing your kitchen over to become the vegetarian kitchen and how you can get your family to adopt, a new diet and so on. But we also talk about the environmental aspects of changing over to a vegan diet and the fact that about half of all the water that's used in this country is used to grow crops that are then fed to animals. And there are huge amounts of oil that are used to produce the pesticides and the fertilizers that are used on the grain that is then fed to animals, plus the huge amounts of oil that are used to truck the animals around from feedlot to slaughterhouse. And so you can actually save so much energy and so much oil and so much water by becoming a vegetarian or a vegan. And a vegan is a person who takes vegetarianism one step farther, someone who eats no eggs or dairy products in addition to not eating meat. It's a much healthier lifestyle, too.
Yeah, there's varying degrees of vegetarianism. I think it was in the book it was mentioned now, lacto-ova vegetarians who
right, just... that's someone who eats meat, eats dairy products and eggs. And then an ovo-vegetarian is someone who eats eggs but no dairy products and so on. And we view it as a gradual process. We often find as people start out perhaps cutting out meat in their diet, and then when they realize how cruelly animals are treated in the dairy industry, how baby calves are taken away from their mothers at birth, and this is very distressing for both the calves and the mothers. And, of course, the male calves are put in small crates and raised as veal. Many of them die even before they get to market because they are anemic. They need to be fed huge amounts of drugs to keep them going. Veal is a very unhealthy food. Once people realize that and they see that there's a piece of veal floating in every glass of milk, they start to feel uncomfortable with that and then cut back on their dairy products, cut back on their cheese. When people find out how eggs get to the supermarket, most eggs come from factory farm chickens who are crammed so closely together that you may have anywhere from 5 to 9 chickens in a cage the size of a folded newspaper. And, of course, they really go insane from the confinement. They try to peck each other to death. The factory farmers have to chop up their beaks with a hot knife to prevent them from cannibalizing each other. The conditions are just so bad that a lot of people decide they don't want to participate in that kind of thing. And they start cutting back on their eggs and their diet, too. And pretty soon they find their cholesterol's dropping and they have more energy and they're, glad they did it.
I guess the history of Peter has been more of a shock confrontation of exposing these methods of, food production to people in the testing of the rabbit testing, the monkeys, the rhesus monkeys that were tested on. Is PETA sort of like coming down more to a less shocking level with these seminars
I think it's not very shocking because it's more, this is something where we are teaching people how they can change their lives. And these are people, usually the people who come to the seminars care about animals. They're disturbed about how our society treats animals, but they just may not know all the details or they may not know precisely what they can do as an individual. So this isn't something where we need to shock, a university into realizing what its researchers are doing. This is something where people who already are disposed to help animals are then taught what they can do themselves or how they can reach out to their neighbors. We do have a role-playing where we teach people how to confront people wearing fur, for instance. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. You can be very confrontational or you can be very polite and very gentle in your approach. A lot of it depends perhaps on that individual person and your feelings about the whole situation. But we do that kind of role-playing, and we feel it's very important, for instance, for everyone who cares about animals to always say something to the person who's wearing a fur coat and always bring it to their attention that animals did suffer to make that coat. And please, ask that person, please think twice about what you're doing and don't put the coat on again and never buy another one.
Well, it's apparent you've been very successful because just reading the papers here and up in the New York area, a lot of furriers have been closing down and cutting back. So, for what people say about the negative aspects of PETA, it has had a positive effect on, the furriers and the environment.
Absolutely, because there are a lot of toxic chemicals, of course, that are used in, getting the furs ready to be made into coats and getting them onto the market, because otherwise those are dead animals and they would rot if they weren't preserved with a fair amount of toxic chemicals. So, yeah, absolutely. We do sometimes use the more shocking tactics in our research and investigations. We have undercover investigators who get jobs in laboratories or other places that exploit animals, and they take videotape footage of what is actually occurring. Now, we recently did that with Carolina Biological Supply Company in North Carolina, which is the largest supplier of dead animals for dissection to schools. And we uncovered some really shocking cruelties of how cats, for instance, were brought while alive to the facility, killed in gas chambers by being rammed into them with rods. Often they were taken out of the chambers and they were not yet dead because the chambers were improperly used. And then they were injected with formaldehyde, sometimes while they were still alive, which is an extremely painful procedure. And we have videotaped footage of that. And we show just a few minutes of that in the seminar so we can get people involved in our dissection campaign. We have a film that they can take around to their schools and show why we're asking people to stop dissecting animals, for instance.
Now, there's various other animal rights groups. I've always wondered, are these groups such as yours and, say, the Animal Liberation Front, or, say, SACA, which is also based in Washington, is there a competition among you, or do you all try to work together somehow?
Yeah, I think there's so much work to be done that we don't have to compete for pieces of turf. unfortunately, animal exploitation is so widespread in our society. We use animals, we eat them, we experiment on them, we test cosmetics on them, we use them for entertainment, we hunt them. There's no question of competing. I think it's more of trying to spread the work around, and there's more than enough work for everyone. I've found that the animal rights movement, my general experience is that people do cooperate well, and we often refer, for instance, people or reporters to other groups if we feel that they're working on another issue. Hunting, for instance, we often refer inquiries about the hunting issue to the Fund for Animals because they're doing a very good job on that whole issue. And so my experience is there's more than enough work for everybody, and we're happy to refer people to other groups when that works well.
Now, one of the areas where I think all the groups cooperated was last year there was a march on Washington.
Yes, and there were about 40,000 people that came from all over the United States and also from England and even from Australia to come to that march. And that was a wonderful experience for many, many people who came around the country because they realized, some of them for the first time, that they weren't, the lone eccentric in their town. Some people from, say, small towns in the Midwest or whatever had sometimes felt they were struggling along by themselves, and they realized, no, not at all, that this is a huge and growing movement which has been sweeping the country for the past decade. And I really feel that animal rights is going to be the social issue of the 1990s, especially with our increased environmental consciousness, because for the first time we are starting to realize that human beings are not the only creatures on this earth, that we share the earth with the other inhabitants, with the other animals, and that we have a right, have an obligation to treat other beings with respect, to realize that we share the planet with them. And this is a very new and very revolutionary consciousness that is just starting to come about. We used to feel that the earth and its inhabitants were ours to exploit and to use and dispose of. And we're realizing now that the earth is not, and its inhabitants are not disposable. You get rid of them and that is the end. And it's taken us to the end of the 20th century to understand that. So we're looking at animals in a very different way, finally.
One question I've always wondered about is, I've always noticed the animal rights movement active in America and in England. Is it active in other parts of the world, say in South America or Eastern Europe?
We have contacts with groups all over the world. It's more active in some places than others. For instance, in the Scandinavian countries and Switzerland, they have some very active movements. Sweden, for instance, just passed some legislation that essentially outlaws factory farming. It has very strict requirements for the humane treatment of farm animals and outlaws many of the practices, such as the severe crowding of animals in confined pens or confined cages, that are still legal in the United States. And so they've made tremendous progress on the issue of factory farming in Sweden by essentially outlawing it. In Germany, they have outlawed the use of these very small cages for egg-laying hens. They require that egg-laying hens have much more room, say, than they do in the United States. And other countries have banned the dissection of animals below the university level in Switzerland, and I think it's Sweden, Norway, and Denmark, and I believe the Netherlands. So there's a lot going on in different places around the world where people are busy and working.
Now, Animal Rights 101 is towards the whole country. Where have, like, the best responses been, and where have, like, you know, mediocre responses been?
I don't think we've ever gotten a bad response. Everywhere we go, we find that people are really eager to learn what they can do to help animals. And, of course, one of the reasons why I think people are so interested in is we realize that people have a life. They have a job, you know, a family, children, and so on. So we don't say, here, do this major thing that's going to consume your entire life and you'll have to get divorced before you can do it and so on. We give them things that they can incorporate into their daily lives. Things like changing your diet, changing your consumer habits and voting with your consumer dollar, you know, just speaking to people on the street about fur, or, you know, setting up an information table at a community fair. Things that are easy to do and that everyone can do. And that's why everywhere we go, and we've been to, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, Maine, Montana, we've been to almost every state in the union. And everywhere we go, people are interested.
And this is a day-long seminar running from 8:30 to 3 p.m.
Yeah.
It's a $25 registration fee.
Right, and they do get a vegan lunch with that. And everyone gets a video to take home with them to show their family and friends and neighbors, so that hopefully the people that they talk to later will be able to see the video and understand why these people are concerned about animals.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that'll be taking place this Saturday, March 16th, in Kings Park.
Yes, at the Lucian Memorial United Church at 109 Main Street. And if you'd like to register or have any questions, you can call 301-770-PETA, PETA.
One last question. There's a new album out put out by PETA.
Yes.
Featuring various musical stars such as K.D. Lang, the B-52s, Howard Jones, all vegetarians in their own right. And in fact, there's a video out people should check out featuring a raw youth.
Yes, and that's been shown on MTV pretty regularly, as a matter of fact. The record is available in, you know, major record stores. People can go in and ask for it. And then it does have some information about animal rights enclosed with the record.
And this is the second record PETA has released. I think 2 years ago you released the Animal Liberation
Right.
album.
Right. And the response to this one has been tremendous. We have sold, I think, tens of thousands already.
That's great, and getting the word out on PETA. Okay, thank you once again. Talking to Sue Brebner, Seminar Coordinator for PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.